us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I am still preaching in the mini-series as a part of the larger series, God Will Take Care of You, Part 3. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 543, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 910, since January the 1st, 2016. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. And I think we can extend this out to your transportation needs, your housing needs. For many, your retirement needs, even though I don't think people retired back in those days. They just kept on working until they dropped dead. But in America, we have created some needs, some categories that I'm sure our ancestors did not have. I know my ancestors retired when they died. But whatever you think is a need, we can extend that out to include that. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I know when I use words like raiment from the old King James, I have thousands of preachers out there who wish I would just at least go to the new King James. Many want me to go to the NIV. But I believe in dancing with the one who brought you all the way here. And so I continue to use the old King James. I'm not interested in debating with you about it. I'm not one of those who feel like you have to defend the King James version of the Bible. I believe in what Spurgeon said, you just, when you have a lion, you just unleash it. And it can defend itself. Our ancestors came through many toils and snares with the old King James. I guarantee you that if you look hard in an attic somewhere, if your grandmother is still living by her bedside, you'll find an old King James version of the Bible. But more importantly to me is, I got saved December the 19th, 1979, with a soul winner leading me to Jesus with the old King James. And so, it's all right with me. Be that as it may, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory, Jesus said, was not arrayed like one of these. He did not, his clothes could not match what the lilies of the field have on. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? In other words, shall not God take care of you? You know the answer. He has, he is, and God will take care of you. Stop worrying and stop fretting. Stop being filled with care. We have people who tell us, you take care now. No, don't take care with you. Don't worry about a thing. Don't be anxious about anything. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Holy Father God and our Savior Jesus Christ, thank you for your holy, precious, and powerful words, for no man spake like you. And we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And we thank you for salvation, full and free, through you, through your sacrifice on the cross for our sins, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Lord God in heaven, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you, those of us who are saved. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and make us fit for your use. For Lord, I'm sure that sometimes we sin and we're not even aware of it. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd empty us of ourselves and fill us with the fullness and the power, the peace and the joy, the fruit and the liberty, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit in this place once again. And as it is beamed all across the country and around the globe on multiple streams, we pray that they would feel it as well and sense it as well and be and benefit from the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost, revive those of us who are saved, and help us to live our lives in such a way that glorifies your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share with you something that I told my boys in the car earlier today. Not only should we be confident that God will take care of us, but we should recognize and be thankful for the fact that God has already taken care of us. and remembering that fact and being thankful to God for having taken care of us for so many years, since the time we were born, through many toils and snares. That should breed even more confidence and more faith that God will take care of us, and not only that, God is taking care of us right now. If God pulled back His hand from you right now, you would drop dead. You'll have all kinds of cancers and liver problems, colon problems, all kinds of diseases would destroy your body. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. 500 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, the French Renaissance philosopher Michel de Montaigne remarked, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened." Have you ever considered that much of the terrible things you worry about or that you worry will happen to you might never happen or never happen at all? A recent long-term study asked people to write down the things they worry will happen the most. How many of you have had fears and anxiety about things that you thought for sure they were going to happen and they just didn't materialize? The study found that 85% of those things never happened. And of the things that did happen, 79% of subjects discovered either they could handle the difficulty better than expected, or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. God will take care of you. Maybe not the way you think He should, but God will take care of you. And yes, God will allow difficult and painful things to happen in your life, to challenge your faith, to make you stronger, to position you to help somebody else who will need your help in a few days. Thank God for the Cajun Navy. Can somebody say amen? The Cajun Navy, they're out of New Orleans and Louisiana. These are the fellows who have skills. But they have skills because, when it comes to hurricanes, because they've had to deal with hurricanes in the past. And they have been tested. And they have been tried. They had to save some bodies, and if you will, some souls down in the bayou, down in New Orleans, down in Louisiana, with boats that you have never seen before. They're not a part of the U.S. Navy, but they should be, and they ought to be paid by the government. One of the reasons why I say thank God for the Cajun Navy, for these are some bad boys. These are real men. These are men who they cut their sleeves off, for what I don't know. off of a perfectly good shirt that buttons up. These are they who have rubber boots on all the time. These are they who will not only come by with a boat, but get out of the boat and go get you, wading through the water. These are real men. These are men who do not play. Thank God for the Cajun Navy, but they have become the Cajun Navy because they had to help so many others in their own state. Thank God for the Cajun Navy, because right now the Cajun Navy is in North Carolina and in South Carolina, all over the place, saving lives. Can somebody say amen? Doing a bang-up job and doing it with ease, because this is a piece of cake compared to what they've had to deal with. The question, ladies and gentlemen, to be considered is, why worry at all? And that is the question Jesus wants us to ask ourselves today. Why are you worried? Why are you fretting? Why are you so troubled? Yeah, where's your faith in God? That's why he said it then, O ye of little faith. Why is it that somebody always has to come by and pump you up? And why is it that you never pump anybody else up? You never encourage anybody else? Always being the one who needs encouragement. Always being the one who needs a pat on the back. Always sad, depressed, defeated, and disgusted, yet you raise your hand every time saying, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in God. The way your face looks, we have reason to doubt. You, not God. And so, beloved, as we learned on yesterday, God is in control of the entire world. So don't you worry about a thing. Stop staying up all night worrying and fretting. God is in control. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has occurred to God? God's not surprised about anything. God is untrickable. You can't trick God. You can't bamboozle God. You can't cause God to run amok. God is always up. So there's no need for you to be up. Can somebody say amen? Just as we trust him for the sun's rising, we should trust him for our food, clothing, our clothes, a place to stay, if you need transportation, even your transportation, our very lives. Jesus impresses upon us that when it comes to this matter of worry, there should be a fundamental difference between the way we live and the way the world lives. So many Christians are right there down in the dumps with lost people. And what a tragedy that is, because you don't give lost people hope. And I know that some of my theological brethren are going to disagree with me, but let me tell you, as I search church history and search the Bible, suicide and committing suicide because of depression and anxiety is not a part of the plan. Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us, and he's not interested in dying again. He's already died for your sins and for mine, was buried and rose again for our peace and our joy. So I announce to the world today that for the Bible-believing Christian, suicide is not a way out. Suicide is not a part of the church's plan of escape. Suicide is not a part of the Christian experience. It is not normal for a Bible-believing, God-honoring Christ follower to even think about committing suicide, much less try to commit suicide or commit suicide. And I have to tell you that, lost world, because you need hope. And I apologize to you that we have a certain element in the church, when they cannot find this phenomenon in church history, telling the world that it's okay for a pastor to blow his brains out to escape the troubles that he's having. And that is just not true. That is a lie straight from hell, from the devil himself. All designed to prevent you from having hope. One atheist philosopher said one time that if Jesus is not the way, then we have no hope. I'm paraphrasing him, but that's what he said, and he's right. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Can somebody who believes that say amen? Jesus says, after all these things, food, drink, clothing, do the Gentiles seek? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Unbelievers can justify their worry outside of God. Unbelievers can justify their worry. For outside of God, there is no real reason to feel as though all of our needs will be provided outside of God. The world is too volatile, is it not? Change is too constant. Too many things are beyond our control. But if we have faith in God, as Jesus told us to do, we know that volatility and change are no hindrance to God Almighty. For he changeth not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thomas Constable writes in his commentary, since God provides so bountifully for his own, it is not only foolish but pagan to fret about the basic necessities of life. Now, some of you in the prosperity gospel way of thinking, you have gone out and bought into the philosophy of fake it till you make it. So you have put a whole lot of stuff on credit cards, and you've gone into debt trying to impress people who don't care what you have, by the way. Have you noticed yet that you can go out and buy a BMW car for $60,000 on credit? What Brother Madison used to call going down there getting Bubba's stuff and on credit, easy credit. But the people that you want to impress, have you noticed they never see your car? They can care less. And you dare not say anything about your car over the coffee table, because now you are looking like you are materialistic. The people who you want to impress can care less with what you have. They're either more concerned about what they have, or they're not materialistic at all, and they feel sorry for you going into debt for something to impress somebody. The fretting disciple lives, he goes on to say, as an unbeliever who disbelieves and disregards God. Such a person devotes too much of his or her attention to the accumulation of money and material things, and disregards the more important things in life. End of quote. And by the way, when you die, your BMW is not going to matter. I'm sure you understand that. When you die, your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill is not going to matter. Your wife is going to marry Jim Bob and bring him into your big fine house that you worked so hard for. And Jim Bob is going to raise your children and drive your car. It's not going to matter how much money you made when you check out of here. And by the way, in case you have not noticed, if you're too busy living, there's a whole lot of folk busy dying all around you. Your age, by the way. Some for a good cause and some not for a good cause. We pray for the family, the wife and beautiful little girls of the police officer who died in Fort Worth doing his job protecting and serving. We also pray for the family of Brother John, who apparently was a Christian man, a believer, who was about something, had graduated, a young black man who graduated from college, that's rare, with a wonderful godly mother, I believe, from Haiti, down there in the Caribbean, let me put it that way. And she's a down-home Christian mother. You can bank on that. She's the real deal, because most mothers would not have been able to handle that so well and so quickly as she did. Yes, it broke her heart, but she stood tall as a Christian. And so he did not die for a good reason. And I'm sure his mother, when she thinks about how he was only 26 years old, he was in church on Sunday morning singing in the choir. He was an affable, extroverted individual, loved people and cared for people. Finished college, had a great job working in an accounting agency in Dallas, living in a decent place. His apartment was not that clean when they showed it to us, but you know, that's how young men are. That's okay. He was living the life. Can you imagine having a child being killed in their own apartment? You need God to be able to handle that, my friend, and she has God, and she showed it. Pray for them as well. If you're too busy living not to notice that there are some people busy dying, then you need to slow down just a little bit, because your turn is coming. And you need to get prepared. A huge part of your Christian walk, my beloved, is caught up in simple trust in God. And by the way, if you've been saved a while, you're not going to feel anything. Thank you very much. You're not going to get a tingle down your spine. You're not going to get a feeling of electricity going down your leg, unless you're having nerve pain from diabetes. Don't misconstrue that as something from God. That come from eating too much potato salad and fried chicken. Woo! No, I don't blame God on that.
Don't blame God. That's you. You better get some medication or stop eating so much. You're not going to feel anything. Just have faith in God. That's what Jesus Christ said. He didn't say have a feeling. He said have faith. He said, well, I can't see afar off. That's all right. Just have faith in God. See up. Look up. It seems like my husband is going to leave me for another woman in the church. Have faith in God. Pray him back. And while you're praying him back, go wash the dishes. Clean the house up. Clean yourself up. Make sure the babies are clean. And you do your part. And you, instead of cussing him out when he comes home, have a pleasant attitude and spirit. Pray and work. I'm concerned about my wife leaving me. I received some divorce papers from her today. Pray and change if you need to change. Pray and start loving your wife. Pray and start leading your wife. Have faith in God. Don't worry about whether or not you feel something. Just have faith in God. It may seem dry. It may seem cold. But faith is real. And God honors that faith. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. Your children are grown now and they're out and about. And there you are, fretting and worried and fearful for your children. When God told you to pray. When Jesus said, have faith in God. It doesn't matter whether they call or text or write. I thank God I hear from my children every day. I hope you do as well. But if you don't, have faith in God. Pray to God for them. I believe one of the reasons why I do hear from them is because I'm praying for them. That's my job. My job used to be raising them. And if you raised your children well, you don't have to worry about your children when they leave. Just pray. If they do wrong, God will deal with them, just like he has dealt with you. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Believe in God. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your invisible soul, from invisible hell, surely you can trust him for food, clothes to wear, and other material provisions of daily life. And all of you, let me say many of you, know exactly what I'm talking about. Because not only will God take care of you, God has taken care of you, and you know it. So how dare you, now that you are in another predicament, be in despair, despondent, defeated, disgusted, when you have seen miracle after miracle after miracle in your life? That's a slap in God's face. Don't do him like that. I love this verse. 1 Peter 5:7 says, we ought to cast all our care on him, for he careth for us. Do you know, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody caring for you, looking out for you, got your back. There's a saying going on in the black community right now. I don't know where it started, but it goes like this: I got you, I got you, don't you worry about it. I got you, I got you. I believe that is supposed to mean that no matter what happens, I'm going to look after you. I'm going to take care of you. I got you. It's a black thing going on. I have not bought into it because my trust is not in the black man or the white man. My trust is in God.
And so I don't need for you to have me. God's got me. Can somebody say amen? Edward Joy wrote, "Is there a heart overbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. Come then at once, delay no longer. Heed his entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus." Can somebody say amen? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, who can and will give you peace that passeth all understanding and joy unspeakable, if you would only trust him as your Savior. If you have not done that, dear friend, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's Ten Commandments, his law. You understand that when people break the law, they must be punished. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have broken God's laws. We all have come short. Some have done better than others, but we all have come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Isn't it amazing how people who are living for some strange, foolish reason do not think they're going to die, even though people are dropping, if you will, like flies all around them. People are dying every day all around them, yet they somehow believe others will die, but not them. But you will cease to exist one day, and the reason is because of your sins. How that you and I have violated God's word. And the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. God made us to worship him, to live for him, to glorify him, and yet we have transgressed his laws. We have trespassed. We are guilty. And so we must suffer the ultimate punishment, death. People walk around worried about the men and women on death row. But I have news for you, dear friend. You're on death row, waiting to die. Why? Because of your crimes. What crimes, preacher? Your adultery. What crimes, preacher? Your lust. What you want to do, but you can't do. For your stealing from Walmart. Stealing from Bezos' new cashierless store. You're lying. Some people lie so much they believe the lies themselves, and then they'll get mad at you if you don't believe their lie. You're going to hell for that. Now, you're not going to hear that from the nice little pastor down on the corner, but you're going to hell. For what, preacher? For your homosexuality. Touching on a another man, a man touching on a man and kissing on a man. Are you kidding me? Women lusting after one another, biting on one another, and touching on one another. You're going to hell for that. That's a violation of God's law. And many other sins. Hatred, pride, racism, prejudice, drunkenness, and on we can go. You're on death row. And your prison will be in eternal hell if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus understood, contrary to what many preachers and many people will say today, well, you ought not to try to scare people into trusting Christ. Tell them all of the nice, wonderful things that could happen in their lives. If they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll be prosperous. Their family will be happier and better. They'll gain some material things, and they'll have more hope and so forth. All of these things may be true or not. And certainly the materialistic stuff is not true. My question to you is, dear loving pastor, is where am I going to scare them to? Hell number one or hell number two? Hell is hell, and Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any preacher, any prophet, anybody else in the Bible. And he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He wants you to go to heaven and escape hell, because he did not create hell for human beings. He created hell for the devil and his angels. However, if you act like the devil and listen to the devil and do what the devil does, you're going to hell with the devil. And hell is an awful place. It's a sad place. I would venture to say that Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers today. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28 very clearly, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. You say, well, preacher, who goes to hell? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful. People too afraid to trust Christ as Savior because they are worried about what other people may think. They're a peer pressure group. They're fearful. Unbelieving. People who are agnostics and atheists who refuse to believe in God. And the abominable. People who commit abominable acts. Evil acts. And I might get killed for this, like the group MIT something up in the New York, New Jersey area, cutting people open, cutting people's heads open, off. The abominable, people who not only kill others, but dismember their bodies. And as I mentioned, homosexuals, people who try to turn God's world upside down on his head with men, so-called having sex with men, which is impossible, and women, so-called having sex with women, which is impossible, because it is not how God intended. God calls homosexuality, lesbianism, whatever you want to call it, an abomination, making them commit abominable acts and are abominable themselves. they're going to hell. See, I have to tell you this because most preachers are afraid to tell you that. You have pastors today who are sitting up there preaching, standing behind the pulpit, preaching, and got two men hugged up on one another on the second pew. Two women hugged up with their little children that they got from God knows where, hugged up on the pew. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." It doesn't matter whether you like it, it's true. And you need to understand, God loves you, I love you, enough to tell you the truth. You're not going to heaven being a homosexual, being a drunkard, being a liar, and all murderers, people who kill unborn babies, people who murder other people, and whoremongers. That's a man running around having sex with and raping and doing all that they want to do with any woman that they can. Any woman that will allow them. But what about the women, preacher? They're whores. Men are whoremongers. Women are whores who let men have sex with them that they're not married to. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." That's how dare you say that? I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating what the Word of God says. It's shocking to you because most preachers will never preach on this today. All whoremongers are going to hell. All whores are going to hell if they don't repent and trust Christ as Savior. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo. It's mighty funny, we have some who get sleepy when we're talking about their sin. Wake up. People who practice witchcraft and voodoo. And some of you people who are rebellious and stubborn, you're practicing witchcraft. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody above God, above Jesus, you're going to hell. And then if God did not get you on these very bad people mentioned here, the last one is, and all liars. He's got you on that one. For the Bible says, some babies lie when they come out the womb. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that is bad news. But here's the good news. I'll tell you what, preacher, I guarantee you I'll never come and listen to you again. That's okay, I got you today. I told you the truth today. Don't you worry about a thing. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the gospel, as someone said, in a nutshell. And all you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried and rose again. And all you have to do, my friend, is believe on him. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to speak in an unknown tongue to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church or to me or to anybody to be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. And pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. The Holy Word of God guarantees it. So if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Romans 10:9 And 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, dear friend, and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Let's pray right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments and your other commandments. I've done wrong in my life in your sight. I've committed many of these sins that the preacher talked about, and I'm involved in some of those sins right now. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways by the power of your Holy Spirit, and help me to follow you in the new life obediently and faithfully until the end. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, wherever you are in the world, in Russia, in China, in Nigeria, and we're praying for you, our friends in Nigeria, with the floods and the persecution, South Africa, the Philippines, we're praying for you, our friends in the Philippines, with the typhoon, India, South Korea, all around the world, France, Great Britain, the islands of the sea, Jamaica Land, we're praying for you. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you prayed and asked him to save your soul, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know, or one of our other email addresses or contact forms. We have some free material that we want to send to you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.